Professor McManus, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and good morning.
And good morning to you. Now, we'll start looking at the Scott and Chris records on this race. We've had a bit of flip-flopping back and forth and holding up on the governor's case, sort of a non-verbal, I'm not a scientist in his end, and the former governor Chris, when he was a Republican, he was pretty much all against the idea of climate change, but that has all changed. What do you think is happening out there, Professor McManus?
Well, I think you had the key phrase early on as to what we can expect in this governor's race. It'll be the battle of the flip-flops, because each of these candidates has changed their positions on a number of issues. And climate change, though, is not really showing up to be a big issue right now in the polls on the governor's race. That's not to say that it can't move to the front burner, particularly since you have a billionaire California businessman who's prepared to invest a couple mil in Florida on TV ads on the climate change issue, hoping to energize the groups that are mobilized by the issue, which tends to be young people, which is critical to Democratic success, along with women and minorities, whom polls show are more interested in the issues than some others. So it's kind of right now in the not quite jello stage. It's sort of not gelled yet in terms of how this issue is going to play out in the governor's race.
Well, I mean, the money is from what I can tell, and researching this part of the program, it appears that the money is really going to be about getting voters out more so than spending it in the media markets of Jacksonville, Miami, of course, and Orlando. Is that the way you're looking at it?
Well, you're going to have some television, and of course, television in Florida is very expensive. But you do have to have some of that, because busy people, that aren't glued to the internet 24/7 still get some of their opinions and information from television. But you're absolutely on point. In fact, Jim Messina, who was Obama's key person in the 2012 race and is now actively engaged, I believe, in the Chris campaign, has said publicly the polls are going to go back and forth, he says, but this is going to be a close race, and everything comes down to get out the vote. And obviously, to get out the vote, you need to have grassroots organization. So you're quite right. I am sure that a substantial portion of that money will be going to the grassroots organization, but it'll also have to be television in key markets that with a lot of voters.
Now, I guess we should talk a bit about the records of the two prospective candidates. We say that tongue-in-cheek because that's the way it's going to be. We have the candidates already. Governor Chris backed the creation of a state climate change action and created the state's Energy and Climate Commission, but he opposed coal-fired plants and advocated for expanding Florida's renewable energy resources. Chris wrote on his Facebook page last month that climate change is real, it's man-made, and it's hurting our Florida. How is that true? Is it hurting? Is it actually hurting our Florida? Do we have any proof of that? I mean, come on. I mean, it's hot today, but it was cold last week. What climate change? Come on.
Well, you have hit on a very basic point in this whole discussion. Recently, there have been a number of polls by major polling organizations and universities on the terms global warming versus climate change. And in polls repeatedly, around a third of people, Americans and Floridians, sort of the same thing, are very, very concerned about global warming, which tends to have more of a linkage to human behavior than does climate change. So you see semantics are going to be worked into this. Republicans are going to try to use the term climate change, Democrats, global warming. But it is very much a semantics issue. And people tend to think that that climate change just happens, but that global warming is based upon science that says it's more human-induced. But you'll find them arguing about those terms. And, of course, that was one of the reasons that Governor Scott said what he did about being leaving it to the scientists. He's not a scientist, because this will be the battle of the experts.
Indeed.
They will be in all the ads and so forth.
Indeed.
But, you know, frankly, in terms of environmental issues that push Floridians more, and nationally, polls have shown, and I'll just give you the three issues that over half of Americans worry about a bit, and that's drinking water pollution, contamination of soil and water, and the pollution of rivers, lakes, and reservoirs and springs in our state. Those rank way above climate change and global warming. So I think that what's going to happen in our governor's race is that those three most common environmental issues are going to be the focus more than global warming and climate change, even though for targeted mailers and so forth, for, you know, people who have described themselves as liberal, they'll get some of that. But bigger issue in our state are these water issues and springs pollution and, you know, the contamination of the soil and water by toxic waste.
All right. Let's see what David has to say from Julington Creek. He's been holding for a few minutes. By the way, if everybody wants to chime in on the conversation this morning, you can. The number to dial is 549-2937. David, Julington Creek, good morning.
Good morning. I'm curious, why are the Republicans don't believe that climate change is real? It's going to affect everybody. It's going to affect our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. It's going to be a long-term effect that we all need to get behind and change before it becomes too late. We're not going to feel it, but our future generations will. And I think we need to do something to change it now to start the ball rolling so they don't have to wind up with the effects that we've caused today. I want to just thank you, and I'll take my response off there.
All right. Thank you, David. Susan, why are all Republicans, we say all Republicans are against climate change or climate change deniers? Is that the Republican brand?
The polls do not show all Republicans against this, so let's clarify that. But in terms of looking at polling data, it seems to be that one of the major drivers of opinion is the fact that some feel that the federal government will intrude so much and create a lot of regulations, and a lot of it stems to their opinions of the EPA, and that will reduce the number of jobs created and somewhat stymie the economy. So it has an economic tinge to it. But it looks like that one of the approaches that this big benefactor from California is going to use in sort of trying to counter that is the argument that not to do something will stymie the economy and so forth. So it really is going to come back to economic issues is the bigger difference between the two. And, of course, the whole argument about the science part of it. But because poll after poll shows that jobs and the economy is still by far the leading concern of Americans and Floridians, I think that's the argument. We'll take a more economic tact.
Well, we've got some data from a couple of newspaper stories around the state that indicate that, by and large, Democrats tend to believe in climate change and the effects of it more so than their Republican counterparts. I think you're absolutely correct. I mean, obviously, all Republicans don't believe in climate change, but Democrats still, apparently, according to the data, tend to believe that we've got to do something about climate change in larger numbers than do their Republican counterparts. Gil from the South Side has been holding for a bit. Gil, good morning. What's your thoughts on the matter?
Well, thank you so much for putting me on. I think basically we have to start to look at the scientific rather than the pundit in terms of the climate change. The CO2 and methane are basically contributing to the overheating of our environment. Money is really the mover in this because there's a lot of interest in cars that are using fuel. The Koch brothers are basically doing the oil refining and standing in the way of renewable fuels. I think people, if they just look at the periodic table, if they start to look at what is actually happening with the elements and how stable methane and CO2 are, they're going to see that it's going to actually overheat the environment. And these are long-term consequences, and we need to start doing something about them now.
All right. Thank you. That it sounds like you're a watcher of the Cosmos series with because there's been a great deal of discussion. I've learned a great deal about methane and on that show.
It has nothing to do with the Cosmos series. It has to do with continued education when you get older and not believing whatever misinformation people like the Koch brothers and Fox News and some of the foolishness that is more motivated by cash in their pockets than a community standard or stewardship for the planet. So everybody's going to be paying for this long term. The Koch brothers right now have that Georgia-Pacific pipeline that is turning the St. Johns River into a sewer. People don't want to look at it, but they'll be seeing it later on down the line. So we need to get a lot more, we need to kind of update our thinking so that we can get things done that are going to be friendly to folks and not to the pocketbooks of big industry.
All right. Thank you very much, Gil. Appreciate your comments on that. Ed, Orange Park has been holding for a bit. Ed, what are your thoughts on the matter of climate change and its effects on the political race? Is it real? Should it be a consideration? Are you going to vote with that in mind?
Yes. Is this I'm on?
Yes, you are.
Okay, thank you. Well, there's two things, two different parts here. Number one is, what is the cost of the climate change? And I'm calling you from Orange Park. 100-plus years ago, there used to be orange groves in this area because it was warmer. And then the citrus line moved south because of the colder weather we had here. It wasn't economically feasible to grow citrus in a large scale. So they had nothing to do at that point with human causes. There was no big industries around the world and so on. That was one situation. Now, whether it's caused by human or how much, definitely that's something that can be debated to a point based on the history of climate changes. Number two is what to do about it. If we have here, we have the St. John's River. If we have one side of the river, say the west side, who purifies their water to the point at enormous cost, that when we any water that flows from the west side of the river into the St. John is perfectly pure, but the east side of the river is dumping raw garbage and raw sewage into the river, is also going to help the river much. We're going to get bankrupt here on the west side. And I think that's one of the problems that we have now, is that we are expected to do the heavy lifting in the world, or to a large extent, an enormous cost to our economy, especially those industries that use a lot of energy, like manufacturing, which we've been trying for decades to bring back. They're going to leave. You raise the cost of energy, and we become non-competitive, while the rest of the world, or a good part like India and China, are keep increasing the amount of pollution they throw in the air, and we're trying to clean it here. That, I think, is two questions. That can be debated. But the big one is the cost. We're trying to do the heavy lifting, and other countries like China are taking advantage of it. Manufacturing is moving there because of the low energy cost. And they just keep dumping and dumping, and we keep purifying and purifying. We're paying the bill.
All right. Thank you. That sounds like you have covered the issue quite a bit, Ed. Well, I want to appreciate you for calling in this morning. Professor McManus, Charlie Crist, who is the appears to be the Democrat, the leading Democratic challenger, has even he's even campaigning with a logo of the sun on as his main logo. It was developed by his wife Carol, according to a piece in the Orlando Sentinel, to put forth his climate change in favor of climate change, and we need to change our the way we live things campaign. So he's right there in the center of it.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, he's often been described as having a very sunny disposition, so the logo is very effective.
Now, what are the things?
Going back to one of the things you said earlier, it is true that this issue is partisan polarized. The whole climate change, well, particularly global warming, and it is also true, as your callers who are very educated on the issue have shown, people know more about the science behind global warming than they do about the generic term of climate change. And, of course, your callers are all, as you said, very informed on the issue, much more so than probably 95% of the public.
All that appears to be true. I mean, when we look at these storms that are coming across America right now, just popping up, and all of a sudden, we've got a tornado. We look on one side up here in Jacksonville, where we are. We're a big city, metropolitan area, so it can actually be storming and a tornado on the south side of town, and be sunny and bright over here, with the temperature still hitting 90 degrees. Now, one of the things.
Yes.
Now, in your part of the state, you're in South Florida.
Tampa,
now,
yeah.
Tampa. Well, you're on the coastline. We've had indications that the water level has risen about 5 inches on Florida's coast since the 60s. Have you noticed anything personally different than the way it was, say, 20 years ago?
Somewhat, but I live on a lake, and, you know, and speaking of oranges, we have lost our orange grove because of greening. So, I mean, I think that Americans in general, and the polls show this, do realize that temperatures are changing and weather patterns are changing. So the real issue then becomes, as one of your callers indicated, as to what is the cause of it. It is a normal evolution, or is it so many people moving into an area and the gases? And so I think that people have really noticed climate change, but there's still some skepticism about the causation on climate change, but less so on global warming. The two terms have been shown to be somewhat different in how people look at them.
No, am I? Well, Dave on the South Side says climate change, we need a real scientist, not a political scientist. Dave?
I agree with that.
Yeah, and
go ahead.
This is Dave, and I understand the politics, and I understand the physics and the thermodynamics and the science of water and hydrology, et cetera. And I got to disagree with Susan. The problem here is that people don't understand the science. There are very few people who have studied oceanography. Very few people understand thermodynamics. And the politics on this, the way the political scientists have framed this issue, has deliberately confused the issue to the point where people are coming at it from 20 different directions. It's like blind men describing the proverbial elephant. If you just look at one piece of the elephant, you don't know whether it's a snake or a hard tusk or a telephone pole or the side of a barn. And I challenge a political scientist to become honest and sit down and actually talk to real scientists, physical scientists, people that understand physics and chemistry and oceanography, and get the facts and then put the facts in front of the people. Because this is not a job killer. This is a job creator, because we can create jobs by reinventing our energy economy to be cleaner, safer, more efficient, and work for all the people, not just the supply side energy suppliers who are basically trying to take advantage of short-term uncertainty in the science to make short-term profits that don't benefit anybody but them. This is a water issue. Climate change, warming, whatever you want to call it, affects the water cycle of Florida. It's not just sea level rise. It's how much rainfall we get and how much we get when we get. It's floods, it's droughts, it's all of the above. And I challenge Susan, when you do your polling, start asking questions that are relevant help people understand the science and not be sucked in by the propaganda that's being pushed out there by people who are basically in denial.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Susan, the gauntlet has been thrown down to you.
let me clarify that political scientists are analyzing polls done by others, including political parties and all kinds of interest groups. We're not actually out there doing polling. We're analyzing what people say across the country and who says what. And I understand the caller's frustration with the lack of awareness on this issue among many people, and the need to really impress upon people the importance of water, which absolutely is one of the most critical issues in Florida. But to paint all the political scientists broad brush and say we're not asking the right questions or we're trying to, confuse the public, I think is an unfair statement.
Well, I think
we're as concerned about Florida as everybody else. I'm a native Floridian, and I have, seen my orange grove go because of a disease. So, but the point here is, and I absolutely agree with the caller, water is the issue in Florida, whether it's pollution, rising levels or whatever, and it's becoming a bigger issue. I've been to a number of forums this year put on by various groups that have elevated the discussion of water, and rightfully so.
Water is a big deal. Our Floridan aquifer is being drained right now in a battle between counties who want the water, businesses who want the water. It is a big issue, and I don't think folks really realize how big an issue water is to us right now and how it is going to be in the coming years. Not just a generation is going to pass, but we're talking about a few years, folks, that water is the water issue is here right now. Joe in Callahan on climate change. Good morning, Joe. Welcome to First Coast Connect.
Well, good morning. And I called a while back because I wanted to answer the question on is it real or not and why the Republicans do not believe in it. But the fact of the matter is, rank and file Republicans don't really know the truth. The technology exists to clean the sulfur dioxide out of the emissions from the power plants, to clean the water to almost pure, 100% purity. And these paper mills and these companies, the Koch brothers own, they have wells. You go up to Fernandina Beach, there's probably 20 wells, 16-inch, 24-inch wells, sucking pure water out of the aquifer to make paper. Well, that's one thing that they can do is they could take brackish water and they could take something else and treat it. But every bit of these things, treating effluent, treating sewage, and treating water to make something else out of costs a lot of money, and they don't want to take that out of their profit margin and put it into, and it would create jobs, just like that other fellow said. But these people don't want to take that out of their pockets and invest it in their companies. They want to just go ahead, just like they're doing over in China. They move their companies to China because there are no environmental laws over there, and they can pollute all they want to and make everything as cheap as possible.
All right.
That's all I have to say now.
Thank you, Joe. I think that makes the point quite well from out of Callahan. Paul, Jacksonville, more on climate change. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. I like to redirect the conversation. And I think one of the things that your station could do is to put a geologist on the air. And if you go back and look at the geological history of the globe, we are at the end of an ice age. We're still in an ice age. It was actually warmer in Roman times than it is now. And there was obviously none of the issues that we've been talking about in climate change. So to take a look at Florida, Florida's a sandbar. It's been underwater many times in the geological history of the Earth. There's no reason that it won't be underwater again. Just because somebody in Miami decided to build something 3 feet above sea level doesn't mean that forever Miami's going to be a city down there. If you go up to Long Island in New York, Long Island in New York is a sandbar. It's only 12 feet above sea level down there. The oceans have come back and forth and overflowed and receded over the eons. That's been the geological history of the Earth. This is not a room. Our climate's not a room air conditioner. You cannot, in fact, set a thermostat and assume that it's going to be 70 degrees to 80 degrees at all times. It is a very dynamic system. There's nothing that man can do to change that. In terms of the water issue that you're talking about, that's not a climate change issue. The politicians and the community have to decide what the population density is going to be per square mile in the state of Florida.
All right, Paul, we're going to have to wrap it up there. I do appreciate your calling, and I think we got it. You know, it's a bit frightening that, you know, many of us don't want to talk about climate change because it is so frightening, but it's a discussion that is going to continue. Susan McManus, I want to thank you for joining us from the University of South Florida, where you're a professor there. And we welcome political scientists to have their input on this on this issue.
I have a thick skin, no problem. And people have a right to say what's on their mind, and I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you all for joining us. Look forward to having you back with us again. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you. Bye-bye.